I love messing with the cameraman. I was just talking up front here, and I walk on speakers also. But my brain doesn't work unless I move. It's something I figured out a long time ago, and so especially when I'm speaking, my mouth brain connection stops if I stop moving. So I walk a lot. I don't even know I'm doing it, and I used to try to stop doing it. But you know what? It doesn't inconvenience me. So but people get dizzy sometimes because I'm just like. But one time I was in New Zealand. This is really funny. And I was speaking in front of this massive youth gathering. There was like I think somewhere around 8,000 youth there, and they had the cameraman way in the back on this podium back there. And they had a 100-foot by 100-foot screen. So this massive screen, which was kind of embarrassing to see your face, that because it was zoomed in from here up. So you can imagine how big your head is on a screen that it was the size of this room, my head, you know? And it was so funny because I was walking and the camera guy was trying to keep up with me. So I kept walking back and forth, and then I set in my mind that I was gonna do something special. So I was doing this right here, and then I turned, and then I ran this way, and then I ducked down like this, and the camera guy, he was doing this, and he could not find me because the spotlight and the camera lost me all at once, and they were like frantically searching for me, and then I stood up, and it was awesome. It was so cool. It was like my favorite moment, maybe in life. I don't know. I'm not sure. Very easily entertained, so. But I do appreciate you back there trying to keep up with me, jumping on and off the stage and running around. That's awesome. Really quick. A while ago, actually a long time ago, Marty and I used to youth pastor together. We had two youth groups. We thought, you know what, we're both trying to see the same generation saved in our area, so let's just combine them and do one job together. But we used to joke around. We would meet together. We used to joke around because everybody was writing books. And we thought, you know, books are so overrated. What we're going to do is we're going to write pamphlets, call them books, and go and sell them at conferences. And I beat him to it, I guess, because I wrote this here pamphlet, and I'm calling it a book. But I've got this. I brought it with me. It's really simple. All my messages are really simple, and that's just one of the mandates on my life to keep it simple because I think the kingdom is simple. I think God is simple with us. I think God is profound and extremely like over our head and around our thoughts and all of that. Like who knows the mind of God, but he's also very simple towards us. And so I took a topic called Words of Knowledge that you see in the Bible, and I wrote this little field manual. So this is Words of Knowledge Made Easy. I didn't call it Words of Knowledge for Dummies because I didn't know if that would sell very good. So I made it Words of Knowledge Made Easy. But this is a gift of Words of Knowledge, and it just walks you through. So if you've never given a Word of Knowledge before, or you feel like you're pretty versed in the gift of Words of Knowledge, this book is still for you. It's a field manual. So what that means is it's full of testimonies. It's full of activations. It's even got some notes pages in there. It's got 4 different activations, so 16 days of activation, starting you out from in the privacy of your home to fully activated to giving Words of Knowledge and seeing people get healed and set free. Free and encountering God on the streets. So if you want that, I actually argued with God about writing this. I said I didn't want to, and he put his foot down, and I said, okay. And so I wrote this little book, and I didn't write it to sell actually books. I actually didn't want to. And then when I wrote it, I was so embarrassed to release it because it's like showing the world your baby, and they're either going to be like, oh, it's beautiful, or they're going to be like, oh, look at that, your baby. Yeah, it's cute, you know? And you know, you're like, whatever. And they're like, oh, look, she's got her daddy's chin. And you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of poured my heart into that, you know? So I didn't want to release it, but then God really convicted me about releasing it. And it's been cool to hear the testimonies. Like, I didn't know on Amazon you get an author's page. I never wrote an author's page. I didn't know what that was. Everybody else had these fancy author's pages. But one of the things, I didn't write one. But one of the things you do on there is they put reviews on there. And all the reviews were testimonies of people doing this in their workplace. This little thing, it's so funny because it's, I'm not bragging right now. I'm bragging on God. So this little thing, it's funny because it's totally absurd to me that I got kicked out of high school for selling drugs. And I'm now an author because of this little guy. But and I laugh about that. I tried to actually go back to school and get a degree, and God said, what do you want to do? Mess up a perfectly good testimony. And I was like, all right, fine, easier for me. And But this little thing has sold all over the Middle East and countries I've never been to, and there's testimonies happening from this right here. One of the guys that bought this book, he was somewhere in the U.S., I forget where, but he, when it got to the activation of trying this with family members or people that you know well, the Lord told him that he was going to give him a word of knowledge for his boss. But his boss was this lady, and he worked in corporate America in a sky rise, and it's pretty professional. And his boss was this lady that was like really hard. Like she was a hard boss, and she is a total atheist and proud of it. And he's like, Lord, I don't know. And so he says, I want you to pray for her back. And he's like, she doesn't have a back problem. I'm going to interrupt the meeting to pray for my boss's back, who is an atheist, who's going to get mad at me, who's going to fire me. And all because of this little book, I'm going to not have a job. And he's like, dang it, you know, God, I can't do this. So he goes to work, and his boss ends up Skyping in on the call. And he didn't think anything of that. She just couldn't make it in that day. But he didn't realize she stayed home. No one told him this. She stayed home because her back went out. She couldn't even get up. So she got up enough to sit in a chair to have the Skype call. She doesn't tell anybody her back's hurting. And in the middle of the thing, the Lord just keeps kind of prodding him, like, come on, you got this, you got this, you got this. And he's like, no. Has anybody ever argued with God? He always wins, right? It's like so unfair. We're like, I only have so much time to argue, and he's got eternity. And we're like, dang it. And so he's arguing with God, and finally he's like, fine, I'm going to get fired. And so he's like, excuse me. And he doesn't say much in the meetings because it's just his role. You sit there and do what you're told, right? And so he's, excuse me, this might sound really weird, but I'm reading this book. So he blames it on the book. I'm reading this book, and it's this whole thing with like, it's like a life activation, and it's kind of a spiritual thing. And she's like, what is this about? And he goes, well, I'm practicing this gift, and I wanted to know, the Lord told me I was supposed to pray for your back today. I wanted to know if you need prayer for your back. And she's like, who told you to say that? And he said, God. And he doesn't know what to say. He's like, I'm getting fired. Let's go out with a blaze of glory, you know? I'll just say God right now. And she's like, no, seriously, who told you to say that? I didn't tell anybody that my back's out today. And he said, I'm being honest with you. The Lord told me that I was supposed to pray for your back today. So she said, fine, go ahead, get it over with. He prays for her back, and she gets completely healed right there in the meeting. How cool is that? So is there anybody in here that knows without a doubt that they're not going to buy this? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, here, this is yours. Come on. You raise your hand. I know you're joking, but it's still yours. I was waiting for somebody to raise it. You could have just raised your hand as a joke and got it. There you go. All right, Pastor. Awesome. That's awesome. He's like, that's fun. Fun. All right. Are you ready? He's shaking his head. No, I'm sorry. I got to go. This is what we do. I'm already 17 minutes behind on the schedule. Is that okay with you? It says minus 17 minutes. You got all week? Oh, good. I'm gonna me and you, man. If anybody complains, I'll blame it on you. Just like they blamed it on the book. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to pray for each other real quick, and we're gonna make it quick. But God's not confined to long or short amounts of time. He's powerful all the time. So this is what I want to do. If you have pain in your body, you have some sort of illness, you've got a diagnosis from the doctor, or you're just experiencing something that you know is not right in your body, I want you to stand up right now. All right. Now this is the second part. I know, yeah, you literally have a sling on. You have to stand up. Everybody's looking at you like, really? You're going to just... So this is the second part of this. If you're sitting down, you are now... by the power invested in me and all that stuff, you are now part of the prayer team here. You are hired. You get to pray. So this is what we're going to do. God is good. God's a healer. God loves us. He doesn't have to struggle to see one or two people healed. Like, this is just what he does. It's his natural element. He's the healer. When he shows up, bodies get healed. Last night, I talked about people getting healed with no prayer at all, and there was a few people that came up at the end and said they got completely healed. There was a neck thing that got healed. There was arthritis pain that was going away. There was just stuff happening in the house while we were just having church, right? Nobody praying for each other, and people are getting healed. So tonight, we're just going to step it up another level, and we're going to be intentional about putting our hands on each other and praying. This is a few things I want to say before we pray for each other. I know everybody prays different, but I'm going to ask you to do this one thing for me. I'm going to ask us all to do the same thing. So in doing the same thing, this is what I want to stay away from. I want to stay away from begging God to heal people. Because when we beg, it means we just don't really know his will or we don't know his heart towards healing. And his will is to heal. He is the healer, and that's what he does. So we're not going to beg. And, you know, begging is a sign of not knowing who we are or whose we are. And I'll just tell you right now, you are a son or daughter of God. Whether you know it or not, he loves you like crazy. You're fully accepted, and you don't have to beg. The other thing that I want to stay away from is yelling at the pain or issue or something like that. Loud does not equate to power. Noise level does not equate to power. So yelling doesn't make you have more authority or more powerful. We can be totally at peace. You see the story of Elijah in the Bible with the prophets of Baal, and they yelled and danced around and cut each other and bled all over the place, and Baal never answered. And Elijah called the people close to him, and it says that Elijah spoke to God as if one man was speaking to another, and God answered with fire and lit the altar on fire, consumed the altar, the wood, the stone, the water, the dust, the offering, all of it, licked the dust off the ground, and it was completely consumed. So it's just a sign in the Bible that we don't have to yell to get God's attention. He is a good, good father. And yelling doesn't equate to power. Power is found in our position as sons and daughters, and it just flows naturally through us. We don't have to beg because we're sons and daughters. We're not orphans, right? And so those are the two things. And God's fun, and he's in a good mood. So it's not depressing to pray for people that are in pain. It's actually an opportunity to see heaven move and see people get healed, right? So when you pray, which is in 1 second, we're going to get up. We're gonna ask just briefly. We don't want your whole medical history because that just takes too long. We're already 21 minutes behind schedule. But you just tell where the pain is, you know, like my shoulder hurts, my knee hurts, headaches, whatever it is, and we're going to pray for it. Cool? So real quick, if you're standing, raise a hand. That's so you don't disappear when everybody else stands up. Now we know who you are. Keep your hand up. And then if you're sitting down, just stand up quickly and go and put your hand on somebody. You don't have to be like a professional healer. You don't have to have any credentials. This is just sons and daughters praying for each other and watching dad move because that's who he is. Yay, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. We don't have to ask you to show up. You are here. You are present, God. You are the healer. And so we just say, God, you have full permission, not like you need it, but you have full permission to be who you are and move in this place. We speak to bodies right now in Jesus' name, and we tell every body to line up right now with your perfect will and your perfect healing, God. We tell bones to straighten out, joints to be made better, backs to pop back into place, nerves to relax and go back to place, any pinching to be relieved, muscles to be reconstructed and developed, Lord. We speak to the heart. We speak strength and a steady beat to the heart right now in Jesus' name. We speak to every organ in the body, and we tell you to be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, we tell you to sit down and shut your mouth. You're not welcome here. We tell the DNA that is cancerous DNA to turn back to healthy DNA right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you that there's no capital C on the word cancer, but there's a capital C on the word Christ. And we just say that, God, you are almighty over every sickness, disease, and pain right now in Jesus' name. We tell arthritis to go right now, that constricting pain of arthritis. We tell you to be loosed right now in Jesus' name. And God, we just speak healing to your kids. Shoulders, elbows, knees, toes, necks, backs, hips, ankles, all of it, God, right now in Jesus' name. God, we speak to the brain, any injury or disease or anything with the brain right now, any neurological problems right now. We just speak an alignment with heaven for your will to flow so gracefully through this place and healing to happen right now in Jesus' mighty name. Good. if you're getting prayer right now, I just want you to move around a little bit and test it out. Ooh, and then let us know where you're at. Yay, Jesus. If you're feeling a difference in your body, just start waving at me. We want to see what's going on. Yay, Jesus. Look at, we got hands coming up over here. They're dancing in the back. Come on. Good. We got more over here. This is awesome. Jesus. Now just let the people that are praying for you know what's going on, and we're going to pray again. Ooh. Good, good, good. Good. Oh, man. Jesus. Good. Jesus, Jesus. What was going on back over there? What did you wait for? Here, come up here real quick. I can't hear you at all. Jesus. Look, it's a miracle. We now have 54 minutes in the green. Just by praying, the time has flipped and multiplied. That's a... Yes, yeah, so let's listen to this. Here's one for you. So what's your name?
Sue.
Sue, and Sue's going to say what happened to her.
It was kind of like a gout throughout the whole body, like the pain would just come and go, like in my foot, hand.
Can you guys hear her? There's something with this mic where it doesn't really pick up voice as well. Should I switch mics? It keeps going in and out. I can hear it up here. Is there one right there? I can use that one, right?
Hello, hello, hello. There we are. Yeah, this is a good one. That one did that today, too. So here we go. Ready?
It was kind of like a gout. It would, like, hurt on the side of the foot, and then it might hurt in the hand, and it's good now, and the person praying for me said she had the same thing.
Are you serious? So you guys sat next to each other. You didn't plan that? You sat next to each other. You had the same pain happening in your body, and you had it in the hand and foot. Where did you have it? Foot. And they pray for each other in the same foot, and they both got healed right there in the back. How cool is that? That's awesome. Come on. Yay. Anybody else experiencing a difference in your body? Somebody wave at me. Yeah? Here, what's going on with you? Oh, you're just praising God. We like that too. That's good. You were just, she was just in the moment, in the moment. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Oh, man. Because we're not done. I think this is one of the things we do with this. Is we think that if nothing happened right away in prayer, then we sit down and give up. But what we don't realize is, I think a lot of times we overlook the fact that God is here and God is God. And sometimes miracles happen right away. But so much of the time, like as we sit there, it just starts to sink in a little bit more and the body continues to line up with heaven and what God is doing. And I've had thousands and thousands of people sitting in a meeting, and somewhere in the meeting their pain went away and they didn't even realize it until they went to get up or something. They're like, wait a minute, what the heck? All the pain's gone. Or the next morning they wake up and it's totally gone. We prayed for a lady in the Philippines who had a goiter that stuck out to here. She was a professional opera singer, but the goiter had grown around her vocal cords. They were going to take it out. The doctor was going to take it out on a Monday. This was Sunday. She was going to wake up the next morning, go to surgery, have it taken out. But when they took it out, they were going to take her vocal cords with it. She's a professional opera singer. Like, this is a big part of her life. She couldn't talk. She could barely breathe, and she had a really hard time swallowing. We prayed for the goiter on her neck. It was huge, stuck out past her chin. We prayed for it. Nothing changed at all. We prayed for it again. Nothing changed at all. We prayed for it again. Nothing changed at all. She went home that night to go to bed, to wake up the next morning, to go and have surgery, to have her vocal cords removed. Somewhere in the night, the thing disappears. She wakes up the next morning with a beautiful chin and neckline, no goiter at all, goes to the doctor early in the morning and says, I don't know what happened except for the fact that I got prayer at a church service last night. I had it last night. This morning I don't have it. The doctor checks and says, you're right. There's nothing wrong with your throat. She gets released from the doctor before the conference even starts the next morning. She comes to the conference in the morning and says, check it out. We didn't even believe it was the same lady. She didn't look the same because her neck was just so different, but the goiter was gone. Everybody say that, goiter gone. How fun is that? Yeah, I'm like, Lord, where did it go? Take me next time you do that. Like, I want to sneak in someone's bedroom with him and be like, what is he? He's like, puts it in his pocket. He's like, oh, I'll save that for later. Like, where does that go? Does he have a jar of them that he just keeps, or does it really go nowhere? So completely disappeared. I tell you that story to say, Like, don't, like, all of a sudden lose hope because you didn't feel something change right away. God is God, and God is good all the time. So don't unplug from his goodness, but let's just sit here and let it marinate for a while, and I'll talk while we do that. And we're just going to watch and let God be God. And so we're not unplugging from the idea of him healing us. We're just sitting in the middle of that healing and continue to receive that healing. Are you good with that? There was the guy walking in the back right there, Blue. Did you come up to tell a testimony? Well, how about another testimony? You guys good with that? I like testimonies. You're here to serve.
All right, so just got prayed for back here, and my body got really hot, and I know there's still stuff going on. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in May, so prayed for that to go away. But I've also had this whole neck and spine issue for years, and naturally fused vertebrae, and even walking in here, just pressure and pain in the head, and my neck usually crunches a lot, and I had significant pain, but there's no pressure gone, and over the few minutes here, like the crunching is almost completely gone, and there's stuff going on in there. Yeah.
Come on. Well, we just speak that same thing over your diabetes right now in Jesus' name. We just speak perfect levels, perfect numbers, everything to balance out right now. Is it your pancreas that, or what is it, what is it that does the pancreas? Yeah, pancreas. So we just speak health and wholeness to your pancreas, that sugars and everything else in the body would be balanced, they would be digested fine, that they would be assimilated well, and we just speak that out right now in the name of Jesus. That diabetes sits down and shuts up, and health stands up tall with its shoulders rolled back and air in its lungs right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good. We just agree with what God is doing over you. So good.
Okay, I just want to do this. I just went recently and got a physical, and I had a clean bit of health. You should know that I'm super healthy.
Wow.
I had this one part of the physical that was not so good. I won't tell you what it is, LDL, I mean bad cholesterol. Oh, I won't tell you what it is, but no, actually I will. Here's the thing, and I looked at Kathy back there, and one time, remember we prayed in one meeting, we talked about blood pressure and stuff, and like diagnosis, and when you go back the next time, it's going to be good. The Lord said for me to publicly declare, I'm doing this for me, but I'm also doing it for you. He said, when you go back again for your repeat, which I rescheduled in 6 months, and I said, I refuse to do that. I will work out. I will do whatever you want me to do, Lord. But it's a game changer, and that thing will change. I'm going to have amazing cholesterol, like, I mean, all that. But so that was my declaration. But I felt like this. He also said, that's not just for you. There are people in here, you either have an upcoming doctor's appointment, yeah. You have some sort of something that you're going to the doctor to. And so everyone in this room gets to agree with me that the game-changing report will happen in your next diagnosis.
Yeah,
and so
on.
What was assigned against you will be broken.
That's right.
And part of the deal is you don't get just to say, yay, I'm better. You have to find me, Pastor Rick, Pastor Aaron, stalk us, find us, and you have to publicly get up here and tell and give glory to Jesus when he does it, okay? Part of the plan. We will interrupt every regularly scheduled program to talk about what Jesus is doing.
So good.
So I just feel like there's a grace for that. And if do any of you have an upcoming doctor's appointment for anything? Is there anyone in this room? Okay, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, everybody ready? Better report in Jesus' name. Astonishing report in Jesus' name. Okay, Scott, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Keep going.
And then I wanted Marty to share this also.
I just heard that tumors were dissolving. And just to give you a little background, a friend of mine, we were in a meeting, and somebody gave out a word for tumors, and he actually excused himself, went to the bathroom because it was kind of an embarrassing area. And so he went into the bathroom, and the tumor was completely gone. And so whether it's later on tonight or whatever, or if you want to run off somewhere to check it or whatever, I'm just saying, they're dissolving. I don't know how that works. I'm just telling you what I heard.
That's good. Come on. I feel like I was supposed to tell a testimony that goes along with that. When I first started speaking, I told the Lord, I'll speak anywhere you open the door, God. I never wanted to speak. I was the guy that skipped school for oral presentations because I hated talking in front of people. But God hounded me enough. I said, fine, I'll do it. and I'm going to go all the way. Anybody else, 100% person, it's all or nothing. I said, I'll go all the way. So God, anytime you open the door for me to speak, I'm going to speak. I won't say no. And so my first speaking opportunity, my great-grandmother called me and said, hey, she's in a trailer traveling club, Airstream club. They travel around the nation. And every time they're in California, they asked if I would come speak at their little trailer club on Sundays because they had to have a church service on Sundays. I said, I'll do it. They give me 15 minutes every Sunday to speak. I couldn't speak 16 or they would leave. And they paid me $15 every time. So I'd drive like 2 hours out to these fairgrounds in the middle of nowhere at like 4:30 in the morning to be there by 6:30. And they're early risers, like your family, not my family. And we would drive out there in our broken down little car and I would speak for 15 minutes. And every time I would say, I felt like the Lord wants to heal people here. If you need healing in your body, my wife or my son or I would all love to pray for you. And everybody would get up and they would leave. No one had ever get prayer. One time, a lady came up and she said, I have hundreds of tumors in my body, especially my legs. I have hundreds in my legs. And I'm supposed to go tomorrow to the doctor and they want to remove a lot of them, but they're concerned because they're really fast growing, multiplying tumors. And they're concerned because they're multiplying so fast. So they're going to do their best to keep me comfortable by removing some of them that are making me uncomfortable. And I said, well, I believe that God will heal you right now. And she goes, I want to stop you. I don't believe in healing, but I do believe that God can guide the doctor's hands. Now, I was a young, full of zeal Christian, and I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard in my life. It made me mad because I'm like, wait a minute. You believe in God's ability to be a puppet master but not do it himself. Like he's like, I really can't do that. Let's leave it up to the doctor. And that was my idea, right? So I got upset and I prayed this prayer. It was so simple. I just prayed, God, let your perfect will be done. Amen. Because I was young and prideful and I thought this is just so dumb. Let your perfect will be done. Amen. No compassion. Like I was a jerk, right? And on the way home, I'm complaining to my wife, like, are you serious? You can't believe for God to heal you, but you're going to let the doctor, like I was being such a jerk, right? Well, I didn't know the lady and I didn't think I'd ever see her again. And 2 weeks later, I got a note in the mail because everyone in my grandmother's or great-grandmother's travel club was on the generation that still writes by hand. And I got it in the mail, which impressed me. I got a handwritten letter in the mail. I was like, what is this? And I read it. And she was of a different stream. She was a Christian, but of a different stream that did not believe in healing at all. In fact, believed that it was bad. But she woke up, went to the doctor that morning. She was in her pajamas still because it was really, really early in the morning and she was going to have surgery. So she said she felt a little different when she got up and went, but she didn't really check herself out. She went to the doctor. They did some scans on her legs to try to mark where they were going to remove tumors. Then they took her to another machine and did some other tests and then another test. And then they said, we need to take you over here and do another test. And her doctor's been her doctor for 10 years and he's scratching his head and he's going, what is happening? And he's not really talking to her. And then he says, I need to talk to you in my office. And she's going, oh, great. This is where I get the bad news. And he's pacing back and forth. And he says, I really don't know how to tell you this, but the tumors that we had on scan Friday, now on Monday, we had hundreds of them on scan. Now on Monday, they're all completely gone. And we cannot find a trace of cancer or any tumors in your entire body. How cool is that? So it took 2 weeks to get to me because she sent it through the real mail, you know, no email, no text, no anything else. She sent it through real mail, and I guess it took really long to get to me. 2 weeks later, I heard it, and I was so humbled by it because I was a jerk, but God still showed up. So I tell you all that to say this. I didn't pray a faith-filled prayer. She did not believe in healing, so it had nothing to do with her faith or my faith. It had everything to do with the fact that Jesus overrides all of it. Like, Jesus is bigger than your ability to stir up faith. Jesus is bigger than my ability to stir up faith. Jesus is bigger than our attitudes towards it. Jesus is bigger than our disbelief. He's bigger than all of it. Jesus believes enough for all of us. So if you're feeling like you don't really believe, guess what? He's got you. He's got you. And I know we highlight all the verses in the Bible that talk about belief and unbelief and doubting Thomas and all these things. But let me just tell you, God's greater, God's better, and God's more powerful than your abilities. And that's a good thing. That's good news, right? So I want you to know that you got prayer tonight, and it's a deposit, a spiritual deposit in the health of your body, and it will not go unmet, but there is change happening in your body right now. And we're believing as a body, just to add to that, that God is touching you and he is doing something, and whatever it is, whether it's an old injury or pain that's just been hanging on or a brand new diagnosis, none of it is big enough to stand in the way of what God does and who he is. He is good all the time, okay? Good. I still got a lot of time. This is good. Okay. So I was really tangled between a few messages. Last night I almost spoke about the rain, and then I spoke the message I spoke last night, and then it poured rain, and I'm like, I'm glad I didn't speak about that, because then you guys would have been blaming me for barns and things that got destroyed. I spoke in Australia once about the rain, and it was in a major drought, and then it started raining, and it didn't stop raining, and it flooded the city really, really bad. And they're like calling me, and they're like, you spoke about the rain, and now this is happening. And I'm like, listen, don't shoot the messenger. I just spoke what he told me to speak. I'm not. And so I didn't speak about the rain last night. Tonight I was really bent between like speaking about holiness and who God is in holiness, or speaking about what I'm actually going to speak about as Tangled. And then you guys sang all these songs about holiness, and I'm like, but I felt like the Lord told me to speak this one, but I really wanted to speak that one. And you're singing these holiness songs, so I was like, but Lord, look, it's a setup. God, look what we're singing about. God, and he's like, come here. I have a little bit of preacher ADD where I just kind of like, let's go ride bikes. And so you start singing about holiness, and I'm like, let's speak about that. And he's like, no, come on. So I'm going to stick to what he told me to speak about, and I think that'll be a good idea. So one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is Isaiah 60 verse 1. And anybody know that verse? Anybody read your Bible? Anybody have a Bible? A real Bible? Few real Bibles left. I got a real Bible right there. It's leather. It's signed by a friend of mine who gave it to me. It's got all kinds of notes and snot and tear marks on it. And it's just like, this, my Bible, it's fallen apart multiple times. Last year we had a student that rebound it for me, even like I'm going to pull it out just because I want to show it off. Oh, where'd it go? Oh, it's in my suitcase out there. My Bible's in the suitcase. I feel weird now. It's so far from me. But I love my Bible. I practice PDA with my Bible, public displays of affection. I will hug my Bible. I kiss my Bible. I love my Bible. One of my favorite Bible verses is Isaiah 60, verse 1. And Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And then it talks about kings and nations coming to the brightness of your rising. That was a prophetic declaration over Zion. But I want to make that prophetic declaration over you tonight. Jesus was called the light of the world. That was a prophecy about him. He was the light of the earth, sent here to bring light to the world. And somewhere in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 5 and other places in the Gospels, Jesus turns and he says, now you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he talks about what it is to be salt and light. And I want to prophetically declare that over this body in this region right now tonight. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So even though there's darkness in the world and there's deep darkness over the people, don't be afraid and don't think that heaven is surprised by it, because it's not. This is an ancient prophecy that there is darkness in the world and deep darkness over the people, but it's not like Jesus was part of like some schoolyard prank where he went to sit on the throne and somebody pulled his seat and he fell down. Jesus is still on the throne. Heaven is still in control. God is still almighty. Like, heaven is still moving in the earth. So take up courage and take up strength and know that God's light has risen upon you. His glory has risen upon you. And even though there's darkness in the world, heaven's not surprised by it, because heaven's already introduced its answer to this world. And that answer is sitting right here in these chairs tonight. It says, arise, shine. And I love this verse, because the very first word in the verse is an action word, to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What we need to realize is we're not waiting for anything to happen. God and heaven are actually waiting for us to happen. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, past tense, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Even though there's darkness in the world, heaven's not surprised by it because his glory rises upon you. So the darkness in the world is actually subject to the answer that God has put in the world. Listen to me. God is not surprised by darkness in the world, but he is surprised by a church that would choose to sit down in the middle of it. Like, we have been called to arise, shine. We are the answer to the problems that we complain about. Like, we are the answer to economies. We are the answer to all these problems in the world. The church has been given the answer not to lord over the world, but to bless the world with who he is. Can I say this again? God's not surprised by darkness in the world. He's surprised by a church that would sit down in the middle of it. Like, we are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. I think the verse is funny when it says also that you can't hide the light under a basket, right? Well, let's just talk about that one for a little bit. Like, people think like, oh, I've got this little light in me, and there's even a song way back that was written, this little light of mine, right? Everybody sing away. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine, right? I'm gonna let it shine. And then it goes on, put it under a basket. Oh, no, it's the dumbest song ever. And I'm sorry if you wrote that song or your uncle wrote that song or your aunt loved that song, but it's a stupid song. Because there's no such thing as this little light of mine. I'm yelling. I'm going to keep yelling. This is what I do sometimes. Once I get started, it's hard to stop it. I don't have control anymore. No, I'm just joking. There's no such thing as this little light of mine. It's not this little light of mine. It's this all-consuming fire of mine. Like, he is an all-consuming fire. Put it under a basket. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no, because the basket just burned up. I'm going to, like, yeah, don't take it inside your house. Oh, no, you know, like, this could get dangerous. This all-consuming fire of mine, stand back unless you want to get caught on fire, too. Like, this is what the song should say. I feel like I should get credit for that song. We should sing it in all of our churches. It's a really good song, right? But there's no such thing as this little light of mine. Like, what's been deposited in you is powerful, and it is world-changing. It is something that changes everything when it comes in contact with it. I used to be a firefighter. I fought some crazy huge fires, and I watched natural fires move through the ground and light trees up. I was on a fire once that set records all over the place. And this fire, it was one of the most amazing things ever, because this fire, we were like a mile ahead of the fire. It was moving really fast. We had to get way out ahead of it, and we had to start cutting line because we were trying to stop this thing because it was just devouring everything in its path. And we were more than a mile out in front of it. And I watched as these beautiful green trees and lush grass and this like beautiful landscape started to wilt. And the leaves started to wilt up and do this, and the grass started to lay over. And what was happening was this fire was sucking the moisture out of the tinder that was in front of it, and it was creating fuel for itself to burn. This is a physical fire on the earth, but I watched as these trees started to wilt up and do this, and the fire was preparing them to burn before it got there by sucking the moisture out of it. That is a physical fire on the face of the earth. How much more powerful is the fire that he has put inside of us? Like, he has not put something inside of you and then put you in the water and said, let's see if you can catch something on fire. Like, he has put a fire inside of you, and he has prepared the things that you come in contact with to ignite when you get around them. Like, he's prepared the hearts of people around you to ignite with that same fire. He is working in the hearts of people, and it's no accident that you have the people around you that you have around you. He has sent you as a missionary into this world to see heaven come to earth and to see people's hearts lit on fire by the love of who he is. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory has risen upon you, and his light has risen upon you. You are the answer to every problem in the world. I love that verse. One of the reasons I love that verse, when I was a youth pastor, when me and Marty youth pastor together, a friend of ours named Anthony Skinner used to have these worship nights on Friday nights. And if you've ever worked at a church full time, You know how amazing it is to go somewhere where you have no responsibility in a service? Weirdest feeling ever, right? Like you could sit in the back and no one would judge you. You're like, oh, this is amazing. I remember the first time I didn't sit up front. I got saved and I was on teams always and then got a job. Like I've never been a Christian. It's just like I've never just come to church and been a Christian. I've always been like on the team. And so I remember the first time I went to a church and I had no responsibility and I like kind of walked in and people were greeting me, giving me newcomers packets. I'm like, that's what it feels like. And then you sit down and you're like, wow, this is amazing. I don't have to do anything. I just get to worship. And it was awesome. Well, Anthony used to have these worship nights and that's what it was. It was like all the leaders in the area could just come and have no responsibility, just worship. And so we would just come and worship. And he'd bring musicians from all over the nation in together on Friday nights, these people that were crazy, amazing musicians. And they would just play and we would worship in this old cathedral style church. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. So these were my times. Like this was when I was like, oh, I could lay out and just worship God and cry. And I didn't have any youth trying to ask me questions or I didn't have any responsibility for people in the room. It was just me and God. My wife could do the same thing. It was absolutely beautiful. So I'm having one of those nights, and they're playing, and it's just, like, amazing. And I'm, like, I'm having this a massive, like, thing happening with God and me, and my heart is just, like, laid bare before him. And I'm just, like, you know when you get in those places of worship, everybody's been there, right, where you're just, like, God, whatever you say, I'll do. God, send me, I'll go. You know, like, one of those kind of prayers. Anybody ever had that? What are you doing? Can we get security over here? This is weird. Oh my gosh. You guys saw that, right? She tried to attack me. Like they got it on. Yeah, thank you, cameraman. But I'm laying on the ground and I'm having this amazing experience with God. And the prayer that's coming out of my mouth is, God, send me, I will go. No matter, send me to the darkest places, I will go. God, my yes is fully for you. I only have a yes and it's for you, God. Send me and I'll go. And in the back of my mind, I hear this little voice say, okay, get up and walk to Main Street. And I'm like, I just made that up. God, I'll do anything for you. Now, just to preface this, we were in a little town called Ferndale, which is population like 800. I don't even know. Marty, you think it's 800? Ferndale? 1,000? Yeah, a little more. 1,000. We'll give them 1,000. There's more cows than people in Ferndale, just to paint the picture. And there's there's a couple roads, but there's really one road. It's called Main Street. And we were like a block off of Main Street because that's as big as the city is. And Ferndale on a Friday night is about as hopping as, I don't know, like a yarn store on a Friday night, you know, like Fabric Land or something like that. Unless they're having a big sale, maybe they open it up, but it's not, nothing's happening. There's cows. The cows are going for it, right? The cows are like, hey, let's eat more hay. But that's about it. And so this like idea of going to Main Street, I'm like, yeah, let's go walk out into the dark to a dark place and just stand there. That sounds fun. And it's cold outside and it's late and I didn't really want to, but I'm like, Lord, send me anywhere. Send me to the ends of the earth. I'll go. You know, one of those prayers. You're like, yes. And again, get up and walk to Main Street. And I'm like, get behind me, Satan. I'm conversing with the Lord right now. You know, like I'm like, Jesus, I love you. I won't listen to the voice of the liar. Like I was literally having this moment. And the Lord said, you're about to miss your opportunity. And that sunk in. And I was like, oh, is this for real? I'm supposed to get up out of this wonderful worship, you know, environment and just walk to Ferndale Main Street. That sounds fun. And so I'm like, Lord, are you sure this is you? And he's like, he said it again, you're about to miss your opportunity. Okay. So I leave this beautiful worship moment. Everybody's like crying and having their time. And I'm like, I just like wiping my face off and walking out the door into the darkness. And there's like three cars on the street on the way there. They're not moving. They're parked obviously because nothing's happening in Ferndale. And I'm walking down the street and I'm hearing nothing from God. And I'm like, is this for real? I'm supposed to walk the Main Street. I'm hearing the music fade slowly as I get further away from this church. And I'm like, wow, this is wonderful. Send me, I'll go, you know? And I get to Main Street and I realize like there's two bars on Main Street and there's a few people outside the bars smoking cigarettes. And I get to Main Street and I'm like, okay, Lord, now what? And he said, walk out. I was at a crosswalk and he said, walk out to the middle of the crosswalk. I'm like, okay. So I walk out to the middle of the crosswalk, and I stop, and I'm like, now what? And he said, I want you to walk down the middle of Main Street, and I want you to shout at the top of your lungs, Isaiah 61 over Ferndale, Isaiah 60 verse 1 over Ferndale. And I'm like, definitely not the Lord. And I'm like, because I love praying for people. I love seeing God move, but I'm not the guy that likes to make a scene. I'm not that guy. I have friends that are that guy, and they do it, and I'm always like, oh, Lord, here we go. And but I'm not the guy that wants to be like, hey, Ferndale, you know, the picket. It felt like a picket sign to me, you know, like, ah. And I'm like, oh, that's definitely not the Lord. And he said it one more time. He said, you're about to miss your opportunity. And I'm like, are you serious? That's not what I said yes to. Like, I said, send me, not to the dark places because the streetlights are out, like to the spiritually dark places, God, where things will happen, you know? And I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. And like I said before, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. So I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be that guy. So I put one hand up in the air when I did it. I'm like this, because that felt appropriate. If you're going to be yelling at people when you're walking down the street, it just feels like you need to do this. So I'm like, this feels appropriate. So I got in the middle of Main Street. I put one arm up in the sky like this. People kind of turned and started looking at me because nothing's happening in Ferndale. I'm the big event. And I just started walking down the yellow line, and I'm like, Ferndale, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I didn't want to go through the whole verse because it's so wordy. So then I was like, Ferndale, arise. And I just keep going over and over. And I'm walking down Main Street, and the people at the bar are like, yeah, man. Like, they don't know what's going on. One person's like, give me whatever he's got, you know? And I'm like, Ferndale. And then pretty soon you hear this, shut up. And people are like, boo, and I'm walking down the middle of the road, just yelling in front of the bars, and I walk down the whole entire middle of the street, and I get to the end where all of the street lights are out, and I'm like, there's no one left, and I feel kind of like the reason behind it lift, and I'm like, okay, God, am I done? He's like, good job, and that was the whole thing, and I'm walking back to the church, and I'm like, that was the weirdest. Like, I know some of you are really weird, and that's like totally normal for you, but for me, I'm like, that was the weirdest thing that I've let myself do on purpose, right? Like, that was very strange. And I'm walking back, and he said, so you do have a yes in you. So you do have a yes in you. And I was praying, God, I'll go anywhere for you. I'll do anything for you. He said, walk to Main Street. And I said, get behind me, Satan. And when I got there, I heard the idea, and I thought, that's not the Lord. And I thought, because I was thinking through natural thinking, I'm thinking, what on earth could this possibly do? I wasn't thinking like I'm declaring something spiritual over this place. I'm thinking, this is going to be embarrassing for me. This is like, God, what do I get out of this? Embarrassed, that's what. What does anybody else get out of this? Annoyed, that's what. Like, that's my thoughts behind it. And he wasn't asking me to do it because he didn't know what was inside of me. He was asking me to do it because he wanted to show me what was inside of me. Like, there was a yes inside of me that was bigger than embarrassment, but I didn't know that yet because my yes and my fervent prayer still had some comfortable in it, right? Like, I want to stay in the worship environment. They had a huge fireplace. It's cold outside. There's nothing happening in Ferndale. That seems like a waste of time, but will you do it anyway? And so I walked down the middle of Main Street, and it was ridiculous. And it was, I mean, if you had a video camera, I'd be laughing about it again today because I know, like, people were booing me. People were like, shut up. At first, they were like, yeah. And then they're like, shut up, this guy. I was that guy walking down the middle of Main Street. I was screaming at the top of my lungs for Ferndale to arise and shine at nighttime, right? Like, this is stupid. But I did it. And what happened inside of me, something broke inside of me because there was a point before that where I thought, I'll do anything for you, God. If it fit the version of what I thought he would ask me to do, I'll do anything for you. Like, God, I will go to the deepest, darkest places, but can you do something for me right now where you're at? And I'm like, God, that's not going to do anything. But when I did it, something broke in me. And I'll tell you what broke in me. What broke in me was my idea of what God needed to do in the area. What broke in me was any kind of fear of man, of people are going to look at me and I'm going to look stupid. What broke in me was my own, like, pride and need to be, you know, something. And those things started to break in me. And God started talking to me about the power of my yes. Let me talk to you about the power of your yes. Did you know that your yes is the most important, most powerful thing that you carry in life? God gave us all free will, right? It's amazing. God gave us free will because without free will, there is no love. Without free will, we're just all a bunch of robots and we're just kind of like doing what we have to do because it's what we're programmed to do. But with free will, all of a sudden we have a choice. And so with choice, we get to say yes and we get to say no to something. And I can tell you this, you show me what you say yes to and I'll show you what you value in life. Like what you say yes to is your priority in life. So God started talking to me about my yes and how my yes is my most important thing. And he said, do you know that I searched this land just to find people with a real yes? That he searches the land just to find people with a real yes inside of them. And I'm like, God, send me. I will go. He started talking to me about my yes. He started talking to me about when I proposed to my wife. So I was the drug dealer punk kid who got saved. When God said, God, I'll serve you my whole life, but I need you to send someone to help me. In the back of my head, I thought, send the hot Christian girl from across the street, right? That would be cool. But I would never say that to God because you can't say that to God, right? I couldn't. And I thought my thoughts were separate from my thoughts that I was saying to him, right? Because it was all in my head, the whole conversation. But I thought I can have private thoughts and still have thoughts to him. And that's really not right. That's wrong. He hears it all, but I'm like, God, send someone to help me. Oh, the hot Christian girl, that would be cool. And I walked across, I got home from fighting this fire right after I had this conversation with God, and the hot Christian girl walks across the street, and I'm like paralyzed, like, and I'm nasty too. Like I hadn't taken a shower in quite some time, living out in the woods, fighting fires, stink, had poison oak and pneumonia. That's why we got sent home. So that was just to add some fun to the story. And I didn't realize until I was writing my testimony a few years ago, I didn't even realize it. But by the time I got home from the fire, because I had such a crazy experience with God, I forgot about the poison oak and the pneumonia. But by the time I got home from the fire, I did not have poison oak or pneumonia anymore. Because when the hot Christian girl talked to me, the only thing I had wrong with me is I stunk and I was dirty, right? So I just realized that a few years ago when I wrote my testimony down, like when I said yes to God, he healed my body also. And I didn't even realize it till years later. But I got home and the hot Christian girl comes walking across the street and invites me to church right there. No one had ever invited me to church. Like, this is crazy. So I was in love with this girl day one. I'm like, there was even a time before she ever talked to me. Every time she'd drive by, I lived across the street. So she'd pull into her house and I'd always be like, hey, you know, and I'd try to flex a little. Like I'd always have like one arm kind of flexed, which is really ridiculous. And, right. Cause I like work in the yard with a shirt off, like whatever. This is funny. But she invited me to church and I'm in love with this girl. Before that, I was drunk on my porch drinking because that's what I did before I got saved because I was just trying to numb life. And my friends were there and she drove by and I said, I'm going to marry that girl one day. And one of my friends pushed me off the porch. I remember falling in the grass and everybody laughed because they're like, you're ridiculous, man. You're not marrying her. She was the Christian girl that was like spotless and without blemish, you know, and she lived across the street and I was the neighborhood drug dealer who had surveillance vans in front of the house and kept getting busted and all these things. They're like, you're not marrying her. And now I'm going to church with this girl. I'm like, I'm going to marry this girl. I go to school ministry and Marty's father-in-law, Chris Valentin, says, well, she's my daughter. You're not going to date her. You're on no dating rules. You're not even allowed to talk to her. And I was so mad about that. So I waited patiently through school and then I got permission by April of that year to take her on our first date. And we both liked each other and we were both waiting patiently, but I'm like, can I take her on a date? And Chris said, yeah, I think that'll be great. And the way I kind of felt like a Jedi mind tricked him was, okay, I'm supposed to be on no dating rules, but wouldn't it be better for you to show me what a healthy relationship looks like in the context of the school rather than waiting till I graduate and then I just figure it out on my own, right? And he's like, yeah, that's actually smart. Okay, fine, you can go on a date. I'm like, yes. So then I said, well, there's a second part to the question. So I want to take her on her first date on her birthday, which is April 23rd, but I don't want it to just be a normal date. I want to propose to her because I was set. I'm like, I'm going to marry this girl. We're going to be together forever. We're going to have kids, and this is what's going to happen. And so I'm like, can I propose to her? And he says, I think that would be awesome. And he goes, yeah, baby. And he picks me up and spins me around. To that point in my life, I thought Chris hated me. And then all of a sudden, he's giving me a hug and spinning me around. And I have permission to marry her now, right? And then I asked her mom, and then I asked her dad, and then I asked her first-year teacher, and I asked our second-year teacher because I didn't know how many people I had to ask. I asked everybody. So I got permission from everyone to ask this girl out. Actually, out for life to marry me. So I set this whole thing up, and I have this whole proposal, and there's this waterfall that when I grew up as a kid, I used to go to this waterfall, and we swim there, and it's this beautiful place. So I went out in advance, and I hid the ring in the ring box under these rocks because I didn't want to have, like, a bulge in my pocket here, and she could see it, right? Like, what's that in your pocket, a ring? No. So I went out in advance, and I hid a picnic basket, and I knew all of her favorite foods and what she liked. Like, her favorite drink was a Shirley Temple, and so I had the, you know, the cherry grenadine stuff and all that, and I had it all hidden in a picnic basket, and I'm like, hey, I got permission to take you on a date. And so I take her on this date, and we go out to this waterfall, and she's like, are you sure we're supposed to be here? I'm like, yeah, I got permission. And so we have this whole little picnic and this whole thing, and then I walk down to the waterfall, and she's looking at the waterfall, and I turn around real quick, and I get the ring out, and then I get down like this, and she turns around, and I'm there on my knees, or on a knee, and I'm so confident until she turns around and looks at me, and I had this whole thing planned out, and then this is what it sounded like. I didn't know what to say anymore. I love you. You're amazing. And she said yes. And I was like, yes. And then we had our wedding. This is all quick. Like, this is, the Bible says, get married quickly lest you burn. So we got, and that's what we went for. We're like, yeah, that sounds good. And so we got engaged April 23rd and married June 16th, right? And it was 18 years this June. But that's awesome, right? Three kids. And when we had our wedding, like, she said yes to me right there. And when we had our wedding day, we said yes to each other. And I want to explain something about your yes. Your yes is the most powerful thing there is. And too often the church, we focus on what we say no to. It's all this list of no's, like what we're against. We were just talking about this today. The church's stance is usually, instead of being what we're for, the church's stance is usually about what we're against. If you don't believe me, then log right on back into Facebook and just scroll a little. Like, the most comments on a thread is going to be something that people are arguing about, and usually there's a Christian on there trying to tell everybody what they're supposed to do and not do. And we take these stances around our no's because we think our no is powerful, but our yes is so much more powerful than our no. And I'll tell you why. When I said yes to my wife and she said yes to me, I automatically said no to like 3 billion women in the world. I didn't have to go around to everyone and be like, sorry, no, I'm sorry, no, you're already taken anyways, that's good, okay, sorry, no, your arm, I know it's hurt, I have to say no anyway, you know, like, I'm like trying to be polite to people, but say no to every woman in the world in order for my wife to get the idea that I said yes to her. I didn't have to do that, because when I said yes to her, I automatically said no to every other woman in the world. Your yes is one of the most powerful things you have, and you will do for love what you'll never do for duty. Like, you will do things for love that you'll never do for duty. If someone told me they'd give me $10 to walk down Main Street Ferndale and yell what I yelled, I would tell them, keep your $10. That sounds stupid. If I told my son that, he would do it right away because $10 means something to him. But $10 doesn't mean enough to me to walk down Main Street and yell. But you will do for love what you will never do for duty. Like, I would stand in the middle of a crowded place and I would yell at the top of my lungs, I love this woman, just to get some brownie points, because I'm crazy about her and I want to see her blush and I want to see her smile and I want to see her get a little embarrassed because I went the extra mile and I set up dates with her to just convince her even more how much I love her and to show that I'll go the extra mile, because you'll do for love what you'll never do for duty. I'll be romantic and I'll set the scene. And she still has one of her favorite dates that we went on. And it was the most simple date of all. Like, I've done other dates and I thought, wow, those were way cooler. But I set up our backyard and the trampoline with candles, and I had a little dinner out on the trampoline. Like, how stupid is that? And it's one of her favorite dates we've had to date in 18 years. But I'll do it again and again and again if that's what it takes, because you'll do for love what you'll never do for duty. Like, I will throw myself in front of a bus for my wife. Right? I would die for my wife. And I don't know that I could say that about very many people in the world. Maybe if, like, there was some crazy situation and it needed someone to run in and be the hero, maybe I would do it. But I would have to think for a second. But with my wife or my kids, I don't have to think at all. It would be a compulsion. Like, I would be compelled. I wouldn't even have to think. It would be just my body and my mind would react immediately if there was any kind of danger. I would throw myself in front of a vicious dog or a bullet or a train or whatever it is in order to save their life. Why? Because you'll do for love what you'll never do for duty. Your yes is the most powerful thing that you have. One of the mandates on my life is, and it's so weird because I grew up real poor and I didn't know what a passport was. And when I got saved, God said, I'm going to send you all over the world. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. And I didn't know that it was really real. And now I've got to travel the world. And one of the mandates on my life is to stir up the yes inside of people. To stir up that like passionate yes inside of people. Not just a yes to go to church, but a yes to be what he's called you to be. Like a yes to see change happen on the earth. And so I've been like lucky enough to go around and this isn't bragging. This is like, wow, God, you're amazing. I'm bragging on God because I've been lucky enough to go around to all these crazy places in the world. And I'm going to tell you a few testimonies tonight because I want to stir up faith inside of you to realize not just what other people are doing in the world, but to realize what you carry inside of you and how potent it is and how powerful it is and how much of a world-changing fire burns inside of you. Like what you carry is not small. What you carry is great, and every single one of us carries a greatness. I got to speak at, this is really fun. I got to speak at a, you know, people complain about darkness in the world, so I like to share testimonies too to just to enlighten people that, hey, God's on the move and he's doing really great things. We actually live in the middle of the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. There's never been a move of God this big before. More people are getting saved every day today than ever in history. Like there's more opportunity today than ever in history. God is moving in the underground church in China and people are getting saved in massive crowds in China. I have a friend that has a church in China that was an underground church, and they've affected their city so much that they're no longer underground, but the local government is blessing what they're doing, and they're holding gatherings of 4,000 and 5,000 publicly in what used to be the underground church. Like, we've got friends in Australia. They used to call Australia the atheist nation. We've got friends in Australia that are seeing massive revival among the youth in Australia. They're seeing youth getting healed and saved in malls and on the streets in Australia in huge numbers. Like, God is moving in this country. God is moving around the world, and we are sitting in the most opportune time to see power displayed in our communities. I think a lot of times the church doesn't do anything because we feel alone. But let me tell you, there is a global body of Christ that God is moving powerfully through, and cities are being transformed right now as we sit here. I got to go when I was with Jesus Culture. We were doing a tour and we got invited into a Supermax prison to minister to the prisoners in a Supermax prison. And I thought, oh, this will be cool. And all of us wear somewhat skinny jeans too. And I thought, oh no, because I just don't think skinny jeans fit in a prison. But and Banning had gone there before us. And I guess all these guys were like whistling at him because he had his skinny jeans on. So they were just dogging him the whole time. And I thought, oh no, I didn't bring any pants that are loose fitting. But we went to this Supermax prison, and this guy there started a ministry in the Supermax prison, ministering to people who had life sentences and double life sentences and triple life sentences, lifers. Like, these guys are going to be in there forever. And when you go through the gate, there's like 17 different security checks that they do on you. Like, you pretty much, when you get through all the security checks, you have just your material clothes on, nothing else. Like, your belt stays, your everything stays, like shoelaces are gone, and you just kind of walk in and you got enough on to be clothed, right? And so we make it through all of this, and we walk into the prison, and I'm talking about guys that are tattooed from head down, no skin showing, tattooed here, tattoos on their eyelids, huge, tough guys, and we're all like, hey, you know, hi. And we walk in, and I'm not sure what to expect. But I know that this guy, Charlie, has started this ministry, and he says, just phenomenal, you got to come, we want you guys to speak. And so I'm a little nervous, and we're walking into this prison. You have to walk through the whole prison, and it's like the time where they're all out of their cells. So we're like walking through the prison, and we're like, it's me and Chris Kilala, which Chris Kilala is like 130 pounds soaking wet, you know, like for real. He's a skinny guy. And so I'm the big guy, right? And I'm like, oh crap, I'm not very big. And we're walking through this prison and guys are just looking at us. And they said, we meet back in this room here. And as I walked into the back room, we're greeted by a fire tunnel from these lifers. Some of them double and triple lifers. We're greeted by a fire tunnel at the door when we open it. And all these men tattooed from head to toe, full prison garb, are waiting for us with tears running down their face. And we come through the room, him, and I never felt the Father's love in that way ever in my life before. If you asked me, are you a son, I'd say yes. If you asked me, do I know the Father's love, I would say yes. But I would tell you this after experiencing that, that I never experienced anything before that moment when it came to the Father's love. Even my own salvation, when I walked through the doors, I felt the affirmation and the love of the Father rest on me. These men laying their hands on us with tears coming down their faces. These are some of the toughest dudes you'll ever meet, and they're just praying for us. I could barely make it to the chairs. We're crawling on the ground. They start to tell me their stories. One of them was the head of the satanic church for a huge part of our nation. He had a goat tattoo on his head like this with horns that wrapped around and went up his face. This guy was like tough as can be. I didn't know he was the head of the satanic church at the very beginning, but I started to prophesy over him. And immediately I just started getting prophetic words. It was like, you know, you think it's a dark place. You don't realize that God moves mightily in dark places. And the Spirit was just moving in this place. So I walk in and I'm like, I couldn't help but just start prophesying over it. Like, you know, like it was just like it took over. And I start prophesying and I said, there's something about you. You carry a healing anointing. I see people getting out of wheelchairs in the prison. And I feel like people are going to start calling you Doc because the anointing on your life for healing is going to be so drastic. They're going to call you Doc, like doctor. And they're going to call you Doc. And he says to me, yeah, they already do call me Doc. And someone says, you won't believe this. Just today, a new guy came to the prison. He went over there and laid hands on this guy. And the guy got right up out of the wheelchair. This guy that was the head of the satanic church ends up meeting Jesus in one of the darkest places in the world, a triple max, maximum security prison in Huntsville, Texas, and he ends up meeting Jesus, and he goes from being the head of a satanic church. All he said was yes, and that's what he said to me. All I said was yes to him, and now he's leading this healing movement in a triple max state penitentiary. People are getting healed and saved from the head of the satanic church to the guy that represents God in healing in this penitentiary. There was how cool is that? Like somebody just got out of a wheelchair that day. New guy got out of the wheelchair. They start telling me testimonies. I can't help but just cry. There's another guy that's standing in the back, and I said, you right there, I have a word for you. And he had two guys standing on each side of him. And this guy was the head of a huge gang when he came into the prison. And these two guys that stand on each side of him speak for him. So I couldn't even talk to him. They talked to me. He talked through them to me. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now. I felt like kind of the mafia right there, you know? And I'm like, look, I have a word for you. Is that okay? He shook his head, yes. So I said, I don't know what this means, but I felt like the Lord said he was going to loosen your tongue and you were going to preach his word. And when you preach his word, people were going to give their life. Like groups, huge groups of people were going to give their life to Jesus. And he kind of got a little bit of a tear in his eye and he went like that and wiped it really quick and he took a step back. It was a very simple word. Well, come to find out later on after I left the prison, I was written by the guy who runs this whole thing. And he said, you don't know who you just talked to, but that guy was the head of a major gang. And I can't say what gang he was the head of because it's just they've asked me not to share those kind of things, but he was the head of this major gang. And those guys talk for him, and they always have, because he was born with such a severe stutter that he doesn't talk out loud to the people around him. And when I said the Lord was going to loosen his tongue, the Lord actually fixed his stutter. And from that point on, he speaks clearly, and he started preaching the word in the prison from that moment on. There were two rivals of gangs, massive gangs in our nation. If I said the names, you'd go, yep, those are the gangs. Two massive gangs, two heads of these gangs. One of them was serving a life sentence. The other one got a life sentence on purpose to go to the prison to kill this guy. So he actually makes sure he goes to prison in this place to kill this guy. So he gets put in this prison. He shows up. He hears he's back in this room. He's in this men's meeting over here. He didn't know it was this place that he was going to where they start with fire tunnels. And so this guy that's ahead of this gang has a prison shank. He's a big, huge dude, He's telling me the story. He's massive. And he said, I came here to kill that man right over there. He said, I walked into this room and I had a shank in my hand and I walked slowly. He had his back to me. And right when I got up to him, he said, the presence of God hit me so hard. I fell on the ground and started crying. I didn't know what it was. And I gave my life to Jesus right here in a meeting right here. He says, now that man is my best friend and we go to this meeting every single day together. Listen to me. Listen to me. I tell you those stories from this prison to tell you stories from a really dark place, because I think one of the things with the church is we get so scared with the darkness around us that we forget that the glory of the Lord and the light of heaven is risen upon us. Like, darkness has nothing on light. Have you ever walked in a room before? I know I'm talking fast. It's because I'm excited. Have you ever walked in a room before and flipped on the light and had to like stir up faith inside of you that the light was going to beat the darkness? No, you flip on the light and you're like, yep, there it goes. There's no like massive war. There's no kicks being thrown. There's no karate sounds. There's not like this war in the heavens and on earth of the light and the darkness fighting. No, when you flip on the light, the room becomes illuminated, right? And this is how this works. And in this penitentiary, it started with one man's yes. A guy named Charlie, he thought, you know what? I feel like the Lord's putting it on my heart to do a ministry to the Triple Max Security State Penitentiary. Like, this is the place where all the bad guys go. And so he had to do all this paperwork. He gets in, and the Lord blesses his yes. And now he's seeing the heads of these gangs getting transformed, and it's trickling back to their families and to their gangs outside of the prison. And people are getting saved like crazy because of one man's yes. And now all these men are saying yes, and I got to experience it. And I can tell you this. I experienced men that were so free that I have a hard time finding people that free in churches. These men are told when they can go to the bathroom. They're told when they can eat. They're told what they can do. They're told how to walk, where to put their hands when they walk. And they were more free than most people I meet in churches, including myself. That one man's yes is radically transforming a system. So my question to you is, where will your yes take you? This is what I came here to tell you. Where will your yes take you? What has God put on your life? It's probably not a Triple Max State Penitentiary, but it's somewhere, and there's influence that you carry that will radically change the lives of the people that God has sent you to impact. Like, he has sent me around the world, and it's been the most humbling thing ever. I was in Australia, I told you, atheist nation, and I got to speak to a whole group of youth in Australia, and I sent them back onto their campuses, and I just told them, like, you're going to change your campus. You're powerful. When you say yes to God, watch what'll happen. They went back to their campus. One of them was sitting in first period, and she was a party girl before the conference that weekend, or before the camp that weekend, and she gave a yes to God at the camp, brand new saved Christian. She goes back to school, and she's like, I'm going to turn this, you know, I'm going to flip this school over on its head for Jesus. Like, I'm going to turn this school around. In an atheist nation, she's sitting in first period, and someone comes into class, and they have a cold, and they're saying how they have such a bad headache. And she goes, hey, I'll pray for you right now, and you'll get healed. Because that's what she experienced all weekend, people getting healed. She said, I'll pray for you right now, and you'll get healed. And the person next to her said, you don't pray for people, you party. And I told them, when you go back into life and people try to remind you who you were, you stand up and show them who you are. And so she said, oh yeah, come outside with me, because she didn't want to interrupt class. So she grabs the student by the hand, goes outside, prays for the student. Immediately their cold and their headache goes away completely. They walk back in, this kid's standing there, and they go, well? And the person, the other student goes, I just totally, it's all gone. My nose isn't stuffy anymore. My head doesn't hurt. Right when she put her hands on me, I got completely healed. This girl gets all pumped, and she's like, who else needs healing? And she's in her class. This is an atheist nation. She starts texting her friend. Her friends start praying for people in their classes. They get to lunch break, and they all get together, and they form a circle in the middle of the school, and they start singing Rain Down in the middle of the school. They're singing Rain Down all around the world. You know that song? They're just singing it. Like, this is so weird, right? They're just singing the song Rain Down. It starts raining right there on campus, not forecasted rain. It starts raining right there. They're standing out in the middle of the rain. It's raining, and students start coming out wondering what they're doing, so they form a fire tunnel because they just experienced a fire tunnel at camp. On a public school campus in an atheist nation of Australia, they form a fire tunnel, and students start walking through the fire tunnel, and as they walk through the fire tunnel, they're getting slain in the presence of God and falling out. The students said they were grabbing them by the arms and legs and dragging them, and they were like piling people in the grass, and it's raining on them, and it's getting muddy where they're at, and all these students are just falling out under the presence of God because one girl said yes, and it started something. She started texting her friends, and it started happening on the campus. I went to South Africa. I almost said South Australia. I'm going to be done in a minute. I went to South Africa, and in South Africa, I got to speak a message about your yes, and there was one girl there named Shannon, and Shannon was listening, and God did something in her heart. He just started to stir something in her heart. It wasn't a big boom. There was no flashing lights. It wasn't this big, crazy thing, but she could feel something in her heart starting to get stirred around the idea of having a full yes for God. So she came up at the end, and she said, would you pray for me? I feel like I'm supposed to do something amazing for God. I said, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll pray for you. So she just prayed a real quick prayer. It was great. Like, okay, good to meet you kind of thing. Well, the next morning she wakes up. Her dad is a superintendent of schools for her area. And he said, how was the conference? And she said, oh, Dad, oh my gosh, I could tell you so many stories. It was so amazing. He said, well, how about this? These are public schools, by the way. He said, how about this? We have an assembly at school today, and the speaker for our assembly isn't going to be able to make it. Why don't you just come and speak at the assembly at school today? And she's like, what? I don't know. He's like, yeah, come on, you can do it. Just tell what happened at camp. And she's like, but dad, it's like miracles and stuff. He goes, I don't care. Just come and talk about it. So she shows up on her old high school campus. She just graduated from that year. She shows up on her high school campus. She starts talking about the love of God and telling the miracles that happen at camp. And 600 students at this public school campus give their life to Jesus that morning. Yeah, this is just the beginning. A full-on revival breaks out at this public school campus. Students are getting slain in the spirit. Students are forgiving each other for different things that they've done against each other. Students that were fighting before are now hugging each other in the gym. Students are laying on the ground crying. Students are giving up their razors that they used to cut themselves with. Students are throwing their drugs on the ground, and they're all getting saved right here. So this dad asks her, you need to speak again tomorrow. It goes on for 5 days, and all these kids start getting saved and healed and delivered on campus. The parents don't understand what to do with this because it's a public school campus. The administration doesn't know how to explain it to the parents, but they know that whatever is happening is good because students are changing right here in front of us. Another school in the area gets message or word of this happening, asks her, can you please come to our school and do the same thing? She sends me a picture, and they all wear uniforms at these schools. She sends me a picture of 500 kids standing in this room, all standing there with their uniforms on, very serious. 20 minutes later, she sends me a picture, and all 500 of them are laid out on their backs with tears running down their face because this one girl started speaking about what God was doing in South Africa, and all of them laid out on the ground, and all of them give their life to Jesus right there. All 500 of them give their life to Jesus. This is amazing. By the end of the week, 2,500 students had come to Jesus because one girl said yes. I'm telling you, your yes is the most powerful thing you possess. If you show me what you invest your life in, if you show me what you invest your time in, what you invest your money in, I'll show you what you value. And I'm just asking right now, what does your yes look like for Jesus? Because there's a whole world out there that's waiting to see what the sons and daughters of God look like. And there's a God in heaven that wants all of his kids back. And he has gifted you, and he has anointed you, and he has, his light has risen upon you. And he's just asking you, what does your yes look like for me tonight? It's a simple question. What does your yes look like? And I'm not speaking this story to try to shame you or even try to convict you into doing something. I'm asking you this question. I'm telling you these stories first to show you what's possible and then to say, what are you going to do about it in an encouraging way? Like you carry something inside of you. Each one of you influence people that the other will not influence. You influence people that I will never influence. Like you are in a whole world of people that I'll never influence, I might not ever meet, but you are there. So what is it that we're doing? What does our yes sound like? What does your yes look like? What does your yes feel like? Like what is it that God is asking you to say yes to? Mine started with walking down the middle of the street in a little podunk town and yelling in front of more cows than people, and it broke something in my life, and I've seen God move in some of the craziest ways. I could honestly tell you testimonies of people getting healed for the next 4 or 5 days straight and not run out of stories, and it just started with a yes, and that's no brag. That's no brag on me. I'm boasting on him because he's that good. I was the kid in the gutter who nobody loved, and I didn't even love myself. And he said, I love you, and I said yes to him. And he took this kid from the gutter, and he's done amazing things with my life. It's absolutely profound, and it's humbling what he's done with my life. And I can tell you this, he's doing it with people's lives all over the world right now. He's not surprised by darkness in the world. He's surprised by a church that chooses to sit down in the middle of it because they don't realize what they carry. And I feel like this church right here in this city at this time is called for a great move of God. We just heard prophetic words over your pastor's whole family, and they're amazing. This church right here, and what I mean by church, I mean the body of Christ in this city. So if this building is not your church, but you're just here visiting, I'm talking about this church, meaning the body in this city. Your church building, their church building, our church building, all the church buildings coming together. Our church in this city. Like I feel like the church of the city is called to something so great and so explosive. And I feel like the question that heaven has over the church of this area is, what does your yes look like? And it's simple. It's 3 letters, but it's the most powerful thing you carry. And your yes will take you to places that
it's just going to blow your mind. And I know some of you are already walking in it and some of you are already seeing it, but I'm here to tell you tonight that God's turning up the heat even more on what we've already seen. Like, God is multiplying what we've already done. God is opening doors bigger than the ones we've already walked through. God is up to something good in this world, and he is recruiting everybody that will just say a simple yes to him. Your yes is the most powerful thing that you can give him. And he wants to take your yes, and he wants to throw you out into this world, into the darkness of places, and watch you, the light of the world, illuminate everywhere that you go. He's looking for your yes. I'm going to tell you one more story, even though I'm over, man. It's the last night. You said I had a little bit of freedom. I'm going to tell you one more story, because all the rest of those were crazy big things. But this one, I think, is a little more palatable too. Because, you know, I think sometimes we say yes and then we walk out and we don't see the big explosion of some of the stories I told. And you go, well, see, yeah, it doesn't really work for me. Well, it doesn't have to be a big explosion. Sometimes it's the slow burn. And the slow burn sometimes is more powerful than any of the other things. I spoke at a camp in Covington, Georgia, in this little camp out in the middle of nowhere. And there was a kid named Witt there. And I told some stories of students going back on high school campuses and seeing crazy things happening. And some of my own stories from my own youth group and Marty's youth group. And this kid, Witt, said, I want to go back to my campus and I want to do something great for Jesus. And I said, well, then just do it. And he goes, you think I can actually do it? And I said, I know that you can do it. You just have to be able to say yes when the time comes. So he goes back to school. It's Monday morning. He makes it to lunch. He's sitting at the bench at lunch. He's a senior at school that year. So he's like, I've only got the rest of this year, right? It was one of their breaks, like spring break. He's like, I've only got the rest of this year. I'm going to be at this high school, and I want to change this high school for Jesus. So before he eats, he sets his sandwich down, and he's telling the Lord, Lord, I'll do anything for you. Kind of like my prayer that I pray. I told these kids, like, that's a dangerous prayer. Only pray it if you're ready. Because he'll ask you to walk down the middle of the street and scream and do weird things. Like, God's crazy like that. So be ready. So he says, Lord, I want to do anything for you. Tell me what to do and I'll do it right now. And the Lord said, stand up on the bench and preach the gospel. And this kid was like, he's like, God, is there anything else I can do? And the Lord's like, stand up on this bench and preach the gospel. And Witt's like, Lord, I don't know what to say. And he goes, don't worry, the words will come to you. He's like, stand up on the bench and preach the gospel. And Witt told me, I argued just like you did. And the Lord told me the same thing he told you. He said, Witt, you're about to miss your opportunity. So Witt, not knowing what to say, got up on the bench and he turned around and he looked and all of his fellow students are there. It's lunchtime on a closed campus. Like, all the student bodies there, huge school. And he goes, excuse me, everybody. Can I get your attention? He said, when I said that, all of a sudden I really realized I don't have anything to say. He's like, God help me, God help. Everybody stops what they're doing and they look at him. And he goes, I just read a statistic recently that said in Georgia, our generation, 80% of us say that we are Christians. But when I look around our school and I see the things that are happening on our campus and all of us are doing drugs and all of us are partying and all these things that are happening, he goes, I just don't know if that statistic is real. And I'm one of you. I've been doing the same kind of stuff. He's like, but I'm here to tell you today that I'm committing my life to God. And if 80% of us truly are Christians, then I'm asking you to commit your life with me to God to see our campus change for Jesus. And he said, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk out to the parking lot right now. And I'm going to start praying for our campus until God tells me what I'm supposed to do. And when he tells me what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do it. But I want to invite you with me. If you want to follow me out to the parking lot, then you're in on this and we're going to do this together. He said, I got down from the bench. My feet touched the ground. My head went down like this because I didn't want to make eye contact with anybody because the reality of the situation hit him big time. And he thought, I'm going to walk to the parking lot by myself. No one's going to follow me. So he said, my prayer was this. Lord, just one other person at least. Please, God. Like 5 would be cool, 10 would be cooler, but just at least 1 would be really great. Because he didn't want to just stand out there by himself. You know, he's having his own Lou Engle meeting. He's like, and God by himself. Like, he's like, this is a big prayer meeting. So he walks out and he makes it to the parking lot. And he said he was so scared to turn around. He stands there for about a minute and then he takes a deep breath and he turns around. He's thinking to himself, it might be better just to face the other way if you're alone. You know, it won't look as weird as if you turn around and look at everybody and they're still standing way over there just watching you. And you're like, yeah, it's me. So he turns around thinking, I'm going to be alone. This is what it is. I told God I'd do anything. Now I'm the guy walking down the middle of the street yelling stuff, you know. Like he's thinking, this is just like Scott's story. I'm going to be embarrassed. He turns around and 80 students followed him out into the parking lot.
They all get in a big circle and start holding hands because that's what Christians do, right? Circle, it's the most non-offensive shape. It has no sharp corners. And we hold hands because it's more powerful that way. We're like, we're all together in this. And, you know, your hands get all nasty and sweaty. All these students start, especially in Georgia, all these students get in a huge circle and they're holding hands. And Witt says, we need to pray for our campus. We need to pray for this place. We need to pray for our generation that God would move on our generation. A young man steps in the middle of the circle and he says, can I say something really quick? Witt goes, yeah, say something. And he said, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell everybody that my life does not look like what a Christian life should look like. I haven't been living for God, and I've been doing things that are bad, and I want to recommit my life to Jesus right now. And if anybody else wants to recommit their life to Jesus, raise your hand. He said the entire circle raised their hand. They all gave their life to Jesus, and every day the rest of his senior year, they would meet together, and the group grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew because one young man said, God, I'll do anything. God said, get up on the bench. He argued, and God said, you're about to miss your opportunity. Not everything's healings and miracles. Some of it's just standing up on a bench at school. Some of it's going to your workplace and calling out a word of knowledge when you know your boss is an atheist. Some of it is the slow burn of, I'm just going to be consistent, I'm going to be committed, and I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to continue to show up every single day, even if I see no fruit from it. But your yes is the most powerful thing you have. Can you stand with me? That was a long message. Can you put a hand on your heart? And I don't want an emotional response. I don't even need an out loud response, because really I don't need anything from you. I don't need an out loud response. I don't need any of that. But I want to invite you into a conversation with God right now. And that in that conversation, I'd just like to ask you one question beforehand. What is your yes? What does your yes sound like? How big is your yes? And what are you willing to tell God right now? And I just want to invite you into that conversation. So we're just going to take a minute, and I want you to just engage with God. And wherever you're at, if you don't have a yes right now, guess what? The best thing you can do is be honest with where you're at, and that's okay. But I feel like there's people in this room tonight that as you say yes, there's going to be something that clicks, and even more than that, like the name of the conference, Accelerant. Like there's going to be something that clicks, but more than that, there's going to be something that catches on fire in you. And I want to prophesy over you tonight that as you say yes, there's going to be a fire that burns in your belly that cannot be contained. It cannot be steered by man. It cannot be batted down by fear. It is an all-consuming fire, and that fire is going to change and transform the world around you. That fire is going to drive you into a place of influence that you've always been called to. And in that place of influence, boom, lives are going to change. Guess what? Some of you, your gaze needs to be lifted a little higher, because what God wants to do on your life is bigger than you've let yourself dream for. Jesus. So we're just going to be quiet for a minute, and I want you to have your own conversation with God. And I just have all the faith in the world right now that God's going to meet you right there. For some of you, it'll be a physical manifestation. For others, it's just going to be a quiet conversation. But guess what? The power isn't found in how you react. The power is found in that simple word, Y-E-S, yes. Jesus. I can feel it in the room. Some of you, your tongue's going to be loosed to preach like you've never preached before. And for most of you, it won't be from a pulpit. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I see songs coming out of this room. There's songs coming out of this room that are going to rock people's lives. Jeez, there's business ideas in this room right now. They're bubbling up out of the ground. I just feel like the entrepreneurs in this room right now, with your yes, there's business ideas bubbling up under your feet. There's business ideas ripe for the taking. There's business ideas that will transform economies. There's business ideas that will transform your church, because you're going to have all this flow of money to give into the kingdom and what God is doing in this area. There's business ideas that you're going to be able to invite young entrepreneurs into, and their lives are going to get radically changed by having you as a mentor, because you carry the fire of heaven. Whoa, Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's areas that he's calling people of faith into. There's open doors that he's calling people of faith into, and he's just waiting for a simple yes. Shh. Is there people in here, your middle finger is vibrating a little bit, or your middle finger, it feels like it's buzzing? Your middle finger on your right hand. I felt like there's people. Raise your hand if that's you. Shh. Good, good, good. Ooh, keep it up. Keep your hand up if that's you. Raise it up really high, because I can't see you unless you raise it. Okay, good.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. I felt like that middle finger to me has always been evangelism, but I feel like it means something a little bit different. I felt like if you had that weird feeling of your middle finger and it's kind of vibrating, I felt like the Lord said that he's releasing something on your life to see displays of heaven out in the community here. That as you walk out, that you're going to be seeing displays of heaven in wild places, in grocery stores, in people's homes, in public gatherings, in places like that. Like the Lord is lighting your life on fire to see displays of heaven, not just healings, but some of them will be signs, wonders, signs that make people wonder, like just outbursts and manifestations of heaven. And so I want you to just put that hand up one more time. I feel like the Lord is answering your yes with this lightning rod that says that there will be displays of heaven in this community. There's going to be wild displays of heaven in this community. There's going to be needs that this community has. And as you begin to apply yourself in prayer towards that need, there's going to be a miraculous outpouring over the city in the area of need. And even the news or the local paper will report that it's a miracle that it happened. And you'll know that God called you to pray for it. And when you prayed for it, there was an outpouring that happened in the city. There's something about miracles, signs and wonders and outbursts of heaven. The word outburst came to mind, outbursts in heaven. There's other of you that you feel a stirring in your belly. Woo. And I felt like if you're feeling a stirring in your belly right now, that God is putting a fire on your voice. There's something about your voice being heard. There's something about your message being heard. There's something about, yeah, your yes being heard. And it's not just heard in this community, but he's going to take your yes to bigger places than right here. He's going to take your yes outside of Green Bay. He's going to take some of you, he's going to take your yes outside of Wisconsin, outside of the USA. Like your yes is going to be heard. And he's stirring a fire in your belly, and that fire is going to come out of your mouth when you open it. When you preach the gospel, when you preach the good news, when you preach your testimony, when you speak, there's going to be a fire that leaves you and it begins to attach itself to the people that get to hear what you have to say. God is calling you to have a voice. Shoo. Fire, fire, fire. More God, more God, more God, more God, more God, more God. Whoa, more, 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 more. There's other people, you're feeling something weird with your eyes. There's like a new focus coming to your eyes. I just feel like the Lord's releasing a prophetic gifting, and it's a prophetic gifting with such pinpoint accuracy. It's like a laser point prophetic gifting right now. You can feel it in your eyes. There's something about your eyes. Maybe it's not a burning, but maybe it's just this weird clarity feeling in your eyes, or almost like you can't keep your eyelids closed. Your eyes are wide awake right now. I just feel like the Lord's saying, I'm releasing a prophetic gift on you. I'm releasing the secrets of heaven over your life that you will declare over the earth. You'll speak the words of heaven over this earth, and you will watch things change and get in line with heaven. You're going to speak prophetic words over people that cancel the assignment of the enemy over them and launch them into their destiny. Words that take the cross from a parking place of repentance to a launching pad of destiny. Like there's a destiny launching prophetic gift that's being released in this room right now. Even if you're not feeling it in your eyes, but you say, you know what, God, I want that. Say, I receive that for myself right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's been ideas that people are afraid to do in this room, and God is stepping on fear tonight. Those ideas are ripe for the picking right now. In a time such as this, the world is groaning for those ideas to come, groaning for those ideas to be birthed right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Shh, we're just going to give it a couple more seconds. And then I have to hand this mic over because I can't speak all night. Whoo. Fire, God. Whoa. Shoo. Shoo. I want to prophesy over this house too, right here. Whoa. Shoo. I saw the people of this house turning to water and flowing outside these doors. I saw a huge river coming from this place. From this house of God, I saw a huge river flowing down the streets of this place. I feel like, you know what, I wanted to speak about the rain and I didn't, but I feel like the rain this weekend and just the difference in weather. It's weird weather. It's not normal weather, right? The humidity's been different. The heat's been different. The rain's been extreme. The lightning was crazy. Last night when we got out of here, the lightning flashed so many times in 1 minute. It was unbelievable. And I just feel like the Lord is saying he's releasing something new over this house. And I saw the people of this house turning to water and that water turning into a river and that river raging through this city. And I just felt like the things that you've prayed for and the influence that you know that God is calling this church to, not influence to lord over, like I said before, but influence to really see people people's hearts encounter the love of a good father, to see even from the city government all the way down to, my friend Sean Smith says, from the White House to the crack house, and from the city government down to the lowest areas of poverty in this city, that the Lord will be felt and heard and known. And I just see that the people of this church are going to have such a profound effect on the city in this area and blessing this city, that the city is going to look back at this church and say, they are part of us. They are a church of this city. Like, there's going to be such acceptance of this church in the city because the gift that God is pouring out of these doors, and it's the people of this church. They're going to flow like water. It's going to affect city government. It's going to affect the schools. It's going to affect businesses. Like, God is turning your people into water that can go into all places. And so we just speak a special blessing over this family. We speak a special blessing over this community. And we just say that the two of you have been raised up to lead this place in that. Like, you have been called to lead in revival. You've been called to lead this movement of God. Like, there is a special gift on your lives. There is a special gift on your lives. And that gift, the most powerful place that gift is found, is in the union of you two. Like, you two locking arms and you two locking eyes and you two being of one mind of, this is what the Lord says we're going to do. And there's a power in that that's going to be displayed. And your people are going to flow from this place like water. And it's going to be a raging river. And I just say, get ready for growth in this church. It's just something that's happening, and it's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen, because what God wants to do, it's going to take a lot more people to do it. So we just bless the plans that you have over this house, God. We bless the plans that you have over the church of this city, God. We bless the powerful thing that you're doing in this area, not just in this city, but in the city surrounding, God. We bless Wisconsin right now in Jesus' mighty name. We bless the Green Bay Packers right now, who start practice next week, in Jesus' mighty name. God, we bless the businesses of this area right now in Jesus' mighty name. We bless the schools and the media and the government and the families and all of it right now in Jesus' mighty name. We bless it. We say, let art bubble up from this place. Let art come from the sidewalks and the streets and the businesses of this place, God. Let art come out of the buildings of this place. I saw color and art coming out of this place, and I feel like this area is going to be known for an explosion of the arts, and that art is going to be a sign of what God is doing in this place. It's a new thing that he's doing, a brand new thing. So we just bless you with that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Okay, you can be seated for just a second. I just want to take a quick moment to thank our ushers, our greeters. Pete, wave your hand. Hey, Kathy, Donnie, yeah. John Simmering, all of our production staff. Jesse, hey, Eric, all of you guys. Is that Tracy? I can't. Phil. Yeah, all of our unsung, our admins, people, Benita, I'm going to forget somebody, but everybody, our staff, our leaders, that's your pointing to me. The worship team? Yeah, we mention them every week. They're amazing, but they're incredible. Wasn't that an incredible weekend? They did an incredible job. And songs will be written from here. Amen. I love that. So good. From our first impressions, I could go on and on and on. These conferences are birthed months in advance in prayer. And the people who execute them, we bring in people and speakers. Sometimes we hear some of the concepts in our house, we hear in other house. We want to bring those houses to here, because we also want to fuel revival, not just here, but there. They came from there to here. They came from California to from there to here. And what I want to do is return blessing right back to them. What they blessed us with, we want to bless them. You know, where our treasure is, there our heart also is. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven? And I used to think, okay, I got to just give a bunch of money and do a lot of good deeds to earn a bunch of things that are already in heaven. What I didn't realize, it's already there. Did you hear what I said? Your treasure's there, now just pull it and bring it here. Well, is that money? It can be, but it's not just that. It's about bringing all of heaven's resources here. And why put any limits, lids, or limitations on God? Yes? While we're this is our last night at the conference. Some of you are going to be at church tomorrow, and we're going to receive a special love offering for Marty and for Scott and Lifehouse and BSSD. But so if you want any checks written out, we'll go to them and also to the conference. You can put Accelerant Conference in your checks. Just write it out to Elevation. But as we're preparing to receive that offering, I need to tell you this story when he was talking about the power of yes, because I think there are people in here, it's not just a financial wow God type thing. It's a saying yes to God and seeing what he can do beyond your wildest dreams type testimony. And I've told this before, but about 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord was dealing with me on jealousy. Have you ever been jealous? A few of you have been jealous. One of the things that the Lord is looking for is putting us in positions to be uncomfortable, just exactly what Scott preached tonight. And one of those is when he's dealing with an issue of the heart, remember where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. If there's an issue that he's dealing with, he's going to find a way because he loves you. As Scott said, he already knows what's going on. He wants to know if you know what's going on. And so what he did for me is that we were in the meadows, and I was pretty much telling God every single day, 24/7, Lord, we need a building. Lord, we need a building. And just in case you don't know, we need a building. Lord, just so you know, people are leaving our hotel church. They don't like the surround. Lord, just so you know, let me make you categorically aware of the issue at hand here. People don't think we're going to make it. So if you don't show up, we go away. Then I'm going to go back to the journalism industry. I'm going to get Miracle-Gro, put it on my head. I'm going to sound like, you know, Ron Burgundy and Anchorman. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to start over. This is where my thought process was. Lord, you have to show up. And the first thing he said to me was, okay, here's what I want you to do. You need a building. So what I want you to do is I want you to sow into a ministry of the person you're jealous of in this city. Yes. Yes. I didn't want to. Oh, and not only that, I want you to go because you really do care for them. You just don't know it yet. I want you to go and hand deliver it. Yes. So I went and did it. And long story short, there was the heavens weren't open in that moment. Hosanna was not being sung from the highest. In fact, I felt like garbage from the moment I stepped in to actually hand deliver the check, which was a very large check for a church our size at that time. It was a very, very, very large check. So I get done. We have a great conversation. Immediately I go to the Lord and I said, see, I passed the test. Yay. Yay, now you can bless me because, you know, you're my robot. You do what I say, God. That's not what I said, but how many of you ever done that? I passed the test. I should be blessed. I say all that to say, some of you right now are waiting on something that God already promised you. You've already said yes to. Some of you have already said yes to something. Maybe it was a business opportunity, evangelistic opportunity. Maybe it was just to cross a chicken line. You've already said yes, and now God is saying, I'm going to repay you with interest. Wow, that really got a big clap. Not that I need it, but he's going to repay you with interest. You've already said yes. Well, you say, well, what happened to you? I'm glad you asked. Here's what happened. A couple of years later, a gentleman named Marty Pronovo, you heard of him? Shows up at a Destiny conference and begins to prophesy about buildings being given to us. Now, first of all, you have to understand we had no money, no cash. We're a startup church. We have absolutely no infrastructure. I have staff that we need to pay. We're like, I wouldn't say paycheck to paycheck at the time, but we didn't have a lot of financial margin. It would have been year upon year upon year upon year upon year. We'd have to save forever, and by that time, I didn't believe in the rapture anymore the way it was preached, but maybe the rapture would come. I don't know. Some of you are like, you don't believe in the rapture? See Aaron. So, anyway, long story short, very, very short. Marty gets up, prophesies, you know, the battles that were fought will be given to you that we have won, buildings and all that. Long story short, we're in a building that we can't afford. The developer of that, of this building that we're in, gave us an incredible deal. It's too long to explain, but here's what happened. There was a person in that meeting that day that felt like God was going to use them to help bring that in. His name was Lance and Shelley LeGros. The developer was name, I won't say, because I'll just protect our friend. But we said Jeff before. Just Jeff. That developer also helped develop the ministry and the church of the person I was jealous of. To the check, it was the same person who I'd never met before. So 3 years after, 1 year after the prophetic word, from an obedience step that I didn't get any payoff immediately, I literally physically gave the check to that pastor. That pastor, their entire building thing was backed by Jeff, who I had no way of knowing. Years later, come to find out it was the same person. Are you with me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I got no immediate payoff, but God has a way, when you say yes, of multiplying those fishes and loaves beyond what you could ever see. Now, add that principle to any other area of your life when it comes to forgiveness, reconciliation, you name it. When God says yes, he's going to do something bigger and more wild than you can possibly imagine. Amen? We're just getting started. Those are the kind of God testimonies that I believe we each have within us because we simply said yes. Some of you are saying yes to evangelism as we speak. Those little things in your head that are saying, oh, no, I can't. Yeah, just flush those and just say yes. Because evangelism is just revealing the heart of Father God for someone who desperately needs him. It's just being willing in the moment. All right, let's pray, and then ushers, you can come forward. Holy Spirit, what an incredible conference. From the beginning, you said, spread the fire, catch the fire, ignite the fire, spread the fire. We do it as sons and daughters, not out of compulsion to work for favor. We do it as sons and daughters of the Most High, backed, fully resourced by heaven to bring the goodness of God and to invade every area of influence in this region. We do it out of good pleasure, not out of striving, but out of simple pleasure to see what you can do with people who are sold out to a divine yes. I thank you, Lord, in every area of our lives, even the areas that we don't think we can yield to or submit to, just like Scott said, he did it afraid. He went out there. He crossed chicken lines. Every one of us has that in us. And no longer are the lies over our lives the dominant narrative in our minds. From this moment forward, truth and your love is the dominant narrative in our minds. And we just say yes to your truth and your love and your power in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As we're passing those buckets, I want to bring Marty up here. Marty? Marty got a word. I just wanted you to share.
Yeah, we have people watching from all over the place, and my good friend Mark Sanchez, who lives in North Carolina, gave me a couple words I want to read out, so a couple words of knowledge, actually. He says, I'm watching your meeting, and I feel someone has been having an endless battle with depression and nightmares. God is removing the shame. It's not their fault, and God is going to take away the anxiety. So if that's you, we definitely want to pray for you tonight. And then one more. I also feel there's someone there who is having night paralysis, pretty specific, and almost like seizures. They wake up trembling, get ready, the depression. I'll leave that part. So night tremors, night paralysis, like seizures, and you wake up trembling. If that's you, we want to pray for those two things.
If we could, I know the buckets are almost being passed. The rest of you, could you stand? We're going to dismiss now. I know I do want to close with two quick things. So do we have our ministry team? Do we have any ministry team members here? You have those, Todd? Come on over, guys. I want to do a couple things. If you need prayer for anything, encouragement, maybe a word of encouragement, a prophetic word, all of these precious saints here are well-trained Jedi in encouragement. And if you don't know Jesus, we had cast a vision earlier that this was yesterday, that we would have testimonies of some radical people coming to Jesus in radical ways, and maybe some lost sheep coming home. I got a testimony yesterday after service about someone who had been far from God for a long, long time. His son, I just found out, came to Jesus last. I just heard that he just received Jesus and came back. Yeah. So how many know heaven's rejoicing right now? Yeah. And I feel on the video too, maybe some of you watched Scott tonight. You watched all of this. And I feel like there are people that will watch this online, maybe at a later date, at some other time. And I just want to speak to you. God is real. And just because you saw people who didn't reflect his love in your world and you had an axe to grind against the church, he's breaking that axe and he's going to hit you with a grace bomb so big, so epic, that you're going to be sent people from the north, south, east, and west to encourage you. Your disenfranchisement with church is over. And God is going to restore that to you, and you're going to be a huge voice for the church of God. Every point of anger that you ever had against the church, God's going to release that. You're going to be an advocate for the church, and you won't know what hit you. And I speak that over you out of experience, because at once upon a time, before I was in Christ, I was against Christ. And so the same grace he gave to me, I just bless you with in Jesus' name. Amen? So we're going to pray for you as we dismiss. And then sources close to me indicate there might possibly, since it is an accelerant conference and talking about spreading the fire, sources close to me say there might be a fire tunnel breaking out on the right aisle over here. So potentially there could be a few saints that gathered up a tunnel. We could possibly have a little bit of fun music. I'm not responsible for what happens if said fire tunnel were to potentially happen. If something explosive happens, I'm so sorry. And with that, we dismiss the conference. God bless you. And we'll see you at Elevation next tomorrow if you're here. If not, go to your church.
Bye-bye. Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.